Welcome to the Faith Assembly Podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today. It is our desire at Faith to help you connect, grow, and go in your walk with God. We hope you're encouraged by this message from Pastor Steve.
Okay, are you ready for today's word? If you have your Bible with you, I want to invite you to turn with me to John chapter 15, John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. And this is the last week of our Anchored series, and you know, I've been encouraged. I trust that you have through the course of this series, and just kind of refocusing on what the true hope of the world is, and that is Christ Jesus. Amen. But we've built this series around basically not even a whole verse, but a phrase from Hebrews 6:19 that says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." And today, I got to tell you, I am thankful for that firm and secure anchor. Amen? Amen. As believers, we're encouraged to remain steadfast and committed in our faith through every trial and every fiery storm that life may bring. And you may remember from last week that we said it's not a matter of if the storms are coming in this life. It's more a matter of when. Because in this world, Jesus says, you will have trouble. It's there. It's a reality that we face. And when they come, we need to be prepared, and we want to have a firm grip on the anchor of our soul. I could like to watch suspense thrillers. And you know, well, some people are just not very imaginative, you know? It's kind of like when you're watching Hallmark, it always kind of starts and the middle's kind of the same and the end's kind of the same. And a lot of these things are kind of the same. And almost invariably, there ends up some guy hanging off a piece of I-beam steel way up high in the sky, right? And like, I don't know about you, but that makes my palms sweaty. And there's an adversary who's there, and he's clutching onto that thing for dear life. And there's always somebody with a big pair of boots that's trying to stomp his fingers and get him to turn it loose, right? Can I tell you that's more than just a Hollywood thriller? Can I tell you that's real life? That's life in the spirit? That we have an anchor for our soul, firm and secure? But did you know that you have an adversary who's trying to two-step on your fingertips and get you to turn loose and grab hold of lesser things? And just kind of be in a free fall there in life. And, you know, today we're going to talk about maintaining our grip on that anchor throughout life. And the Bible uses words like perseverance and steadfastness when describing enduring faith. But there's another word that I want to use today, and that word is to remain. To remain, to stay in our fast-paced, ever-changing culture, it's becoming more and more of a rarity for people to remain, to hunker down for the long haul, whether it's relationships or jobs or even zip codes. We are a culture that's constantly on the move. But can I tell you something? That in as much as the world around us changes and the pace of life changes and the things that vie for our attention multiply and change and vary season over season, the God that we serve is ever the same. He never changes. There is no variance nor shadow of turning in Him. And He's always the same. And from one thing to another, many of us become enamored with shiny things, tired, bored with the old things, whatever the case may be, but that's not the way faith works. And my prayer for you today and my prayer for my own life is that nowhere along the way does this grand availability to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit ever become so commonplace to us that we become bored with it and that we loosen our grip on that anchor, steadfast and secure, that we have for the soul. God calls us to remain, to hold fast, to root ourselves in faith and righteousness, and His invitation is forever, not just a little while. Let me encourage you with this and say just a few words to you here. It is simply not enough to come one time to an altar of repentance, say a prayer, shake somebody's hand, sign a card, go through the membership processes of the church, and then get in a maintenance mode where we show up once in a while, once a week, once every other week, every 3 or 4 weeks, and call ourselves secure in Christ Jesus. I'm doubtful. That's not a judgment call. I'm just doubtful. Because the truth of the matter is, we need to constantly nourish our inner man on the presence of the Lord that's available to us, and we need to ever be fastening the grip that we have on that great anchor of hope. One of the premises of this series is that the only firm and secure anchor is Christ. We've covered that exhaustively. And He is the one that's going to hold fast through every trial, every storm. There may be other anchors, as we've spoken about, but eventually all of those are going to fail and give way. They're not going to hold fast. So we learn to hold on, sometimes for dear life. How many have ever been in a season where you're hanging on? And like, you're like, if we can just make it for the next few weeks, if we can make it through this season, everything's going to get better. But right now, I'm hanging on for dear life. And we learn in those times what it means to hold fast and how that hope ministers to us. And we learn the value of remaining, but we can easily forget. So today, I want to draw your attention, John chapter 15, verse 5. And if you've been in church any length of time, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture as we hear Jesus say to us, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without him, I can do nothing. Can I tell you something? That is... That fits good in here. That doesn't fit good in here. Because in here, there's a carnality that wants to be independent. There's something in me that wants to be good enough, that wants to equal up, that wants to measure up, that maybe I just want a little Jesus added to me. But the call of Christ is that we yield ourselves in daily dying, recognizing that we're not enough, and apart from Him, we can do nothing, and we surrender to Him in absolute and utter dependence, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. That's the reality that we approach this message with today. That's the word that needs resonance in our spirit today, is that apart from Him, we have to cling to Him. We have to draw near to Him. We have to enter into His presence and be partakers of what He has to offer, because apart from Him, we can do "If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." This passage is so important for those of us who believe, because Jesus actually says, apart from me, again, can't overstate it, you can do nothing. What does that mean? What are the ramifications of it all? Is it worth it to gain the whole world but lose our soul in the process if we let go of Jesus to embrace other things, other uncertain things? And if we're not holding on to Jesus, what are we holding on to? That needs to be the question. I'm reminded in illustrating this thought to you today of the story. It's not a story. It's just a kind of a recounting of the practice of some African bushmen when they are walking through seasons of drought, when they're experiencing seasons of drought. It is said of African bushmen that what they will do is they will bore these holes, and in those holes, in the crevices therein, they will place the salt. And knowing two things, that number one, baboons love salt. Me too. Number two, baboons also always keep a secret stash of water. They know where the hidden water is. The trouble is that the bushman can't walk up to the baboon and say, "Bruh, where are you keeping the water?" Because he'll get no reply. So what he does is he goes and he bores this little hole just big enough for the baboon to put his hand in. He puts the salt in there, and the baboon grabs the salt, and he will not let go of the salt. So there he remains trapped until the bushman emerges. He gets this baboon, and he puts him in a cage, or he leashes him up somewhere, and then he gives him all the salt he wants. Because what he knows now is that having given this baboon all the salt that he desires, he releases him then into the wild, and then all he's got to do is just follow him. Just follow him. What's the next stop? The secret water hole. So then the baboon and the bushman both drink to their fill. The point is not that the bushman gets filled. The point is this. Here's this baboon. He's walking around in freedom. And he is presented with something that he opts to release the freedom that he has to embrace a thing that he doesn't necessarily need. But in embracing the thing that he doesn't necessarily need, he is then bound in captivity and manipulated. And can I tell you, if possible, the adversary will come into your life and mine and present us things that will cause us to loosen our grip on the firm, secure anchor that is Christ. In Him, without Him, we can do nothing, and we will still release that to embrace the new shiny thing, and it leads us to captivity, and then our lives become manipulated by the plan of the enemy when they should be being ruled by the authority of Christ to lead us to a plan that He has for us that is to prosper us and give us a future and a hope. The obvious question is, why don't the baboon just drop the salt? You know, I've asked myself a lot of times, why didn't I just drop the salt? But we see something we want, we hold on to it despite the cost to ourselves, material wealth, status, prestige. There are so many things. That's by no means an all-inclusive list. And the thing is, we will embrace those things and they potentially make us miserable. Letting go, however, takes courage. Because sometimes we have to let go of the tangible to embrace what seems intangible. We have to let go of what's seen to embrace the unseen. We have to let go of what seems sure to walk by faith. One of the most amazing things in all of this whole idea of Resurrection Sunday and Good Friday and the whole concept of Christianity is this. It has to do with the love of God for His creation, and that is that He loved us first. That is incredibly mind-blowing. If you just really camp there for just a minute, God loved us first. Why? If I ask you why you love the person you're seated next to, I have little doubt whatsoever that you could enumerate a number of reasons why. Well, it's because of this, or it's because of that, it's because of another thing. And you can list those things, okay? Y'all cut it out, okay? Just stop. Just save it till after the service, okay? I'm in the middle of an illustration here. Do you, like, what is God's answer? What is the answer that God would give when people look at humanity and all of its moral decline and decay and brokenness and degradation and say, God, why have you loved them with an everlasting love? Why did you love them? Why? I don't know what that answer would be. Do you? Except that it's in his character. It's who he is. It's the very essence of his being. And before we could ever reciprocate that love, before our relationship with him could permanently be restored, he loved us. Matter of fact, 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says this, in this the love of God was manifest towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God. Of course we would love God. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Right? That's a song if you don't. I mean, who can look at the sacrifice of Calvary? Who can see Jesus hanging on a cruel cross and not say, man, I would love to love a God like that. But why did God ever look at me and so love me that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever loved him and received him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life? I don't know. But God demonstrated his love towards us, Romans 5:8 says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this passage gives us clear explanation of how God loves us. God sent Jesus to sacrifice his life on behalf of his creation in order to restore that relationship. And with that in mind, I just want you to think for a moment today about any relationship in your life where you were loved first before there was an opportunity for that love to be returned. Now, what do you think of that person? I mean, we could talk about some of your mamas this morning. You'd get all weepy and teary-eyed. Why? Because your mama loved you first. Before you could achieve, accomplish anything, loved you first. And now you hold in high regard this individual that loved you first. And my point in all this is to say that God loves you and has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has a room in heaven waiting for you, a seat at the heavenly table described in Matthew 22. He formed you and knit you together in your mother's womb and uniquely gifted you with a role to play in his redemption story, to be a part of a community of living stones that he has so carefully put together into a spiritual house. What a building! His church, not even the very gates of hell can come against it, as Jesus describes in Matthew 18. All that to say, why would we ever let go of Jesus, the only firm and secure hope that we have for eternity? I want to answer that if I could. And the reason that we would ever let go is that, among other things, we are prone to wander. Prone to be distracted by worldly pleasures and practices, prone to forget, prone to get disgruntled and frustrated. It's just who we are. How many of you have ever experienced ebbs and flows in your spiritual life? It's like today you're here, next week you're here, the week after you're here, then you're here, then you're here, then you're here, and then you're like, oh Lord, I need you. And then you're back up here again, and we start the cycle again, right? And this is so commonplace to man that centuries, even before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote, Isaiah 53, and he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've messed it up. But God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And through the prophet Isaiah, God warns that each of us will go astray. The sin of selfish pride and independence runs all through humanity. It's been a thorn in the side from the very beginning, and the remedy to it is to cling to Jesus and just realize that we're not enough. We can't do it. The antidote is to let go of all of our pride and realize that we didn't pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. If it weren't for the grace of God, we'd be on our face, right? And we've just got to realize that, grab hold of Jesus, because he alone is the firm and secure anchor of our souls. And at some point, all of us grow tired of wandering. We come to the end of ourselves. We realize that God's been there all along, just waiting patiently for us to return, like the prodigal's father. Listen, I can't pretend to know how difficult your life has been to this point or how deep the pain goes. I can invite you to stand. For many of us, life has been hard enough for long enough that we've learned through past experiences that we just can't trust anyone. How many of you ever have that feeling? Just like, I just can't trust anyone. I'm going to be disappointed. So what we learn is to rely on ourselves. It's a self-preservation mechanism. We learn to rely on ourselves, our abilities, and we've learned to live within our own limitations. Because if I fail myself, then at least I have only myself to blame. I'm not disappointed in anybody else. I know I haven't set myself up. And that feels like a simpler equation than the numerous alternatives that are available. But I want to ask you something today. What if these words that we read in Scripture are really, really true? What if they are factual? What if Jesus is telling the truth? What if life with him, remaining in him, is a better option than anything you've ever tried before? It's better than counseling. It's better than drinking. It's better than partying. It's better than just all the random relationships. It's better than all of that. What if giving your life to Jesus meant that you would live with peace, that you would know rest, that you would have contentment? If you just let go of the salt whereby you're being bound and your life is being manipulated, and you embrace the one true anchor of hope that is Christ Jesus. I want to share with you the first few verses today of a very familiar scripture as you consider what this life in Christ might look like. Matter of fact, I want you're welcome to join me, okay? And let's just share it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Did you feel that? You just feel the peace and the rest and the refreshing in that statement? Just that statement right there. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And we could go on with the rest of that. I'm sure you could recite it. But what if holding on to Jesus more firmly meant greener pastures for your life, stiller waters, and restoration for your soul? What if it means an eternity of what Psalm 23 here is describing? Today might be the day to just let go of the proverbial salt and grab hold of the only firm and secure anchor for the soul. Every head bowed, every eye closed across all our locations. Simple invitation today. If our prayer team would go ahead and come. a very simple invitation today to say this: hey, I don't know what you've been hanging on to. I don't know what you've been struggling with. I believe today is the day to loosen that grip, to let go of that thing that you've been hanging on to for so long, and embrace the only one true anchor of the soul, Christ Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this inspirational message today. If you would like more information about Faith Assembly, please visit us on the web at faith-assembly.org. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you have a blessed day.